African-American Pioneers of Flight. Watching birds in flight is fascinating. Men have always wanted to emulate birds flying. In the 15th century, Leonardo da Vinci drew a flying machine, and in 1796, Sir George Clayey designed and built a monoplane glider that flew for a few seconds. Then, in 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright designed, built, and flew the first fully practical airplane in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. The Wright brothers called their first true airplane the Wright Flyer One. Eugene Bullard. African Americans began to pilot airplanes a few years later. Eugene Bullard was the first African American licensed to fly an airplane. He was born October 9, 1895, in Columbus, Georgia. Eugene lived there in this small Georgia town with his parents and nine brothers and sisters. Eugene was a dreamer, but his father was a pragmatic man with no patience for dreamers. As soon as Eugene was big enough, he began running away from home. Finally, in 1906, Eugene left home, never to return. Life was very difficult for this flaky teenager living on his own. Eugene was adopted by a group of gypsies, and he lived and traveled with them for several years in and around Atlanta, Georgia. In 1912, Eugene stowed away on the German freighter, the Marta Russ, headed for Europe. Not long out of port, Eugene was discovered and put to work to earn his passage fee. When the ship docked in Scotland, Eugene left and made his way to London, England. In London, he joined a vaudeville act run by Bell Davis called Freeman's Pickaninnies. Bullard performed with this troupe while at the same time boxing professionally. In 1914, a boxing match took Eugene to Paris, France, where he felt like he was at home. He decided to stay in France. In Paris, he was not judged based on his race, and there was no segregation as he had experienced it in the United States. Later, Eugene joined the French Foreign Legion and stayed in it until France entered World War I. Once the war began, Bullard transitioned to the 170th Infantry Regiment, where he fought with the French Army. He was in the French Army. He was an excellent soldier, and he won both the Croix de Guerre and the Bronze Star at the Battle of Verdun. His battlefield actions resulted in serious wounds, and he spent many months in a veterans hospital in Lyon. When he recovered, and his recovery was complete, Eugene was assigned to gunnery school. But the same school that taught gunnery skills also taught flying skills. So Eugene talked his way into the flying school. From November 1916 until May 1917, Eugene learned to fly. And on May 5th, 1917, Eugene earned his pilot's license. After the United States entered the war in 1917, Bullard tried to join the United States Air Service, but he was rejected because of racial prejudice against blacks. So he served in the Aeronautique Militaire first, in the French Espadrille Spa 93, and then the Escadrille 95, where he stayed until November 1917. While in the French Air Corps, Bullard flew 20 missions. He claimed he shot down two German planes. However, those shoots were not documented. Regardless of the number of aircraft downed, Bullard is the only African American to have flown an aircraft during World War I. In late 1917, Bullard was discharged from the air service, maybe because the United States asked the French to discharge him. Although he left the air service, he did not leave the French army. Eugene served in his old infantry unit until it was disbanded. Following his war service, Bullard resumed his boxing career. His last bout was in Egypt in 1922. Following this bout, he married a wealthy French woman, and they had eventually had two daughters. During World War I, Eugene discovered jazz, and when the war ended, he learned to play drums while working in Paris jazz clubs. First, he worked at Zelli's nightclub, and later, he bought Le Grand Duc nightclub as well as Bullard's athletic club. Eugene Bullard supplied the French underground with intelligence about German planes, which he overheard while they were dining and drinking in his nightclubs. He did this until 1940, when he returned to the United States. Back in the United States, Bullard returned to nondescript jobs. From the 1950s until his death, he was an elevator operator at Rockefeller Center. In the 1950s, he appeared on the Today Show with Dave Garraway. And in 1959, French President Charles de Gaulle presented him with France's highest honor, making him a Knight of the Legion of Honor. Eugene Bullard died October 12, 1961, and is buried in the French War Veterans Cemetery in Flushing, New York. Hubert Julien. In 1926, the black movie industry produced the first film about flying and pilots. The title was The Flying Ace, and it had an all-black cast with lots of flying and exciting air battles. There was also a love story with two pilots dueling in the air over a beautiful black woman. This film could well have been the story of the life of Hubert Julien. Hubert Julien was born on the plantation his father managed in Port of Spain, Trinidad, on September 21, 1897. He saw his first airplane when he was 11, and he knew that was what he wanted to do for his life's work. In 1912, Hubert was sent to boarding school in England. But when the war erupted, he was sent to Canada. It was there in Montreal that he earned his pilot's license. In 1921, Julien moved to New York City, where he became known as the Black Eagle, flying stunts and working in air circuses. He loved to do stunts, and in 1923, he parachuted onto 139th Street in Harlem. This caused a near riot, and it also earned him a ticket from the police. The next year, he bought his own war surplus airplane, which he named Ethiopia One. He immediately began to seek funding for the trip he hoped to make across the Atlantic 3 years before Lindbergh actually made his trip. Julien was the best-known African-American flyer of the 1920s. Many of Hubert's jaunts were sponsored by Clarence Chamberlain, a financier. As Emperor Haile Selassie was planning his 1930 coronation, he heard about Julian, and he wanted to have an air force as part of his army in Ethiopia. As a part of the pre-coronation ceremonies, Hubert performed several aerial stunts that impressed the emperor. And the emperor was so impressed that he made Julian an Ethiopian citizen and gave him the Order of Menelik, Ethiopia's highest military honor. He also made him a colonel in the Ethiopian army. Julian was unable to create the air force Ethiopia wanted because they had too few planes, and those they did have were outdated. By 1935, when Mussolini was assaulting Ethiopia, Julian returned to the United States and resumed his career barnstorming and stunt flying across the United States. In 2017, a movie about Julian's life entitled Black Eagle of Harlem was released in the United States. Bessie Coleman. Neither Eugene Bullard nor Hubert Julian were able to find flying schools willing to teach them to fly in the United States. The same conditions existed when Bessie Coleman wanted to learn to fly. Bessie Coleman was born January 26, 1892, in Atlanta, Texas, a town near the borders of Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana. The Coleman family of six children moved to Waukehaxie when Bessie was only two. Bessie attended a one-room schoolhouse where she was an outstanding student, especially good at math. During cotton picking time, the colored school was closed, and all the African-American children joined the adults in filling sacks of cotton to boost the family income. Bessie's math skills enabled her to make sure the foreman was not cheating her family on the weight of their sacks of cotton. From the time Bessie was little, she decided she wanted to go to college. She studied hard and finished all eight grades of her one-room schoolhouse. She then enrolled in the Colored Agriculture and Normal University in Langston, Oklahoma. It was a vocational program that prepared students for college. Unfortunately, Bessie's money ran out after only one semester, so she had to return home to Texas, and she had to return to doing laundry. But her dreams remained. When Bessie turned 23, she decided to go north to live with her older brothers, Walter and John, in Chicago. The first thing Bessie did in Chicago was to enroll in a manicure school. Because Bessie was pretty and intelligent, she was a favorite of customers in the barbershop where she worked, and her salary and tips soon gave her enough money to move out of her brother's apartment. In the barbershop, Bessie heard returning soldiers talking about the women they had seen flying airplanes in Europe. Bessie listened intently and yearned to have an exciting career like flying. So she began approaching pilots and asking them to teach her how to fly. They all turned her down. They were all white. There were no black flyers in Chicago at this time. Eventually, Bessie contacted the Chicago Defender, a black newspaper, and asked what she could do to become a flyer. The publisher, Robert Abbott, saw it as a great publicity gimmick, helping a black woman get a pilot's license. Abbott told Bessie her best chance of getting a license was in France. He advised her to work hard, save her money, and learn French. With the financial support of the Chicago Defender, Bessie got her passport in November 1920 and sailed for Europe. Once in France, the aviation school of the Calderon brothers accepted Coleman, and 7 months later, she received her license from the International Federation of Aviation. When Bessie returned to the United States, reporters followed her everywhere for weeks. She told them her dream was to own a flying school to which anyone with the money could learn to fly. There were no commercial airlines at that time, so the only way flyers earned a living was by performing in air shows. Coleman didn't have the training to do stunts and could not find anyone in Chicago to teach her, so she returned to France for more training in 1922. Back in the United States, Bessie lined up air shows around the country. And September 3, 1922, Bessie appeared in her first New York air show. She rented airplanes or did advertisements in lieu of payment sometimes for using airplanes. February 23, 1923, Bessie had a contract to perform at the Palomar Park Fairgrounds in Los Angeles. Bessie flew her plane into the air, and 300 feet up it stalled before crashing into the ground, leaving Bessie with a broken leg, broken ribs, and an assortment of scrapes and bruises. Bessie spent many months in the hospital, with kind-hearted African-Americans paying her substantial hospital bills. While in the hospital, Bessie began placing ads in the California Eagle newspaper for the Coleman School of Aeronautics. Tuition would be $400. In June 1925, Bessie did an air show in Texas. She delighted the audience at the airfield with barrel rolls, loop-de-loops, dives, and figure eights. In addition, for a fee, she took people up for a ride. Dozens signed up and took the flight. Most blacks never got to take. At the next air show, Coleman had Lisa Dilworth, a black San Antonio woman, parachute jump from the wing of her plane. In addition to shows, Bessie gave lectures and showed film clips of her flights. In 1926, Bessie relocated to Florida. There, she continued to lecture and give air shows. Florida was still very segregated, and Bessie's air shows were usually for African-American audiences. Remember, this was before television, and air shows provided lots of entertainment. Bessie scheduled an appearance in Jacksonville, Florida, for May 1st. And on April 29th, Bessie and her mechanic, William Willis, took her plane up to find a suitable place for Liza to parachute onto Baxton Airfield. Willis flew the airplane while Bessie sat in the back and looked for an appropriate site. Some malfunction caused the plane to accelerate and go into a nosedive. Coleman had neglected to fasten her seatbelt and fell out of the plane from 1,000 feet. She died on impact. The plane crashed and the mechanic too died. Coleman was given funerals in Florida and Chicago. Thousands paid their respects. James Herman Banning. James was born in Canton, Oklahoma, November 5th, 1900. In 1919, he enrolled in Iowa State College, where he studied electrical engineering for a semester or two. And in 1920, a circus came to town, to Ames, Iowa. And one of the amusements they offered was airplane rides. And Vanny took his first airplane ride. He fell in love with flying and took lessons at Raymond Fisher's Flying Field in Des Moines, Iowa. In 1926, the United States began to license pilots, and James Herman Banning was the first African-American to be licensed by the United States Department of Commerce. He and Thomas Allen, his mechanic, were the first African-Americans to complete a transatlantic flight across the United States, a distance of 3,300 miles. They called themselves the Flying Hobos because each time they landed en route to New York from California, they had to do fundraising. They left Los Angeles in September 1932 and arrived in Valley Stream, Long Island, New York on October 9th, 1932. New York City officials were so impressed that Mayor Jimmy Walker gave them the keys to the city.